Amen. Not as just as he redeemed us, but he redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. So we praise the Lord. Amen. Once there was a time that Satan had us bound. But how many know that Jesus came and rescued us? Amen. We bless the Lord for that. Amen. We don't have a lot of time, so let's get right to the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and to hold Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Ephesians 3 verses 8 through 12. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 8 through 12 for those that are able to stand. If we can stand, if we have our Bibles, for those that do not have their Bible, the scripture is on the screen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What's our motto for the year?
The right mind.
What's our motto, having what?
The right mind.
The right mind. Amen. In the right mind, Paul tells the book in the book of Philippians, let this mind be in you that was what? Also in Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Amen. How many are going to quote it with me? Because we've learned all these scriptures for 2014. That's part of the right mind. Amen. So I'm going to let y'all quote it. I'm going to listen. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are above a. What kind of report? If there be any, and if there be any, think on
these things.
Next time we have you getting on the screen for those that have not yet committed to memory, amen. But then one of these Good Friday nights, we're just going to pass the mic around and let everybody quote it. Amen. Amen. Because part of having the right mind is having the Word of God in you. Amen. The one thing that we need to do on a daily basis is we need to commune with God. Amen. On a daily basis, we need to commune with God in prayer, in scripture reading, and then we need to just take a few quiet moments to listen, to hear what God says to us, because the self is a good man of what? Well, how can you receive the orders if you have never listened? Amen. Those of you that are married, how many people in here are married? All right. You get a little frustrated if the person you're trying to communicate with does all the what? What are you smiling about, Minister Simon? I see you. Yes. Yes, I do know that. I just listen all the time when you talk. Amen. Amen. But it's frustrating, right, when you're trying to communicate. To communicate is a what? Two-way street. It's very frustrating when you do, one person does all the talking and the other person does all the listening, and then the talker says, wow, did we have a good conversation? Amen. Well, that's what we do with God a lot of times. We tell him everything. We lay everything out before God. But then we never take the time to listen to see what is God's response to all of our prayers that we send up. Amen. So it's so important that we have a relationship with God through prayer, through scripture reading. And that would enable us to have a what kind of mind? A right mind. Amen. And the only right mind is the mind of Christ. Verse 8 reads,
unto me who am blessed and the least of all saints,
is his grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known unto the, might be known to who? The manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, once again, in whom we have what?
Boldness
and with what? Confidence by the faith of him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And can the church say the word of the Lord? Is blessed already. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. On Sunday, we went over the fact that you don't have to be perfect to have God's favor. Amen. You don't have to be perfect. Amen. And the Lord says about us, he said, I know that you're nothing more than flesh. So the Lord is basically saying he knows we're going to come up short. Well, we're going to go through this, and I'm going to abbreviate it. With the help of the Lord, we might have to finish this another time. But we're going to go with an individual that was not perfect, but they believed God. Amen. And in all of their, as we would look at them, we would look at them in disdain. We would call them someone of repute, someone that's the worst of the worst. But God used them. Amen. So what the church has allowed the adversary to do, we allow the adversary to browbeat us into some spiritual place of intimidation because of our faults and failures of the past. Well, the scripture says that God gives us new mercy. Lord, I messed up yesterday, but thank God you kept me. Amen. And you gave me a new day.
Yeah.
So tonight, the subject that we're going to deal with is having boldness and confidence to come to God. Having boldness and confidence to come to God. Now, we know that God is, how many know that God is not unapproachable? But there's a way that we can approach God. Amen. And here the 12th verse says, in whom we have
boldness.
Amen. And boldness is the Greek word parousia, which means absence of fear. To speak and to act boldly, cheerfully, and courage, and full of courage with God. Once again, parousia, which means to have a lack of fear, to speak and to act boldly, cheerful courage when approaching God. Amen. So we don't approach God sheepishly. We don't approach God any kind of way. Amen. Can you go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we go to verse 14 for a moment. There's a way that we can approach God. But how many know that Jesus was our perfect example? And the scripture says concerning him that he was our high priest. And he was touched with all the feelings of our. He's our perfect example because he went through it. In Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, actually we can start a little earlier, but for the sake of time, we're just going to go there. Verse 14 reads, seeing then that we have a what kind of high priest?
A great high priest.
That is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with God. God knows every weakness that we have because he experienced it as our high priest. But was in all points tempted like as we are? Our perfect example. But verse 16 tells us how we have to present ourselves before God. Amen. First of all, Hebrews said, if you come to God, you must first do what? Believe. Amen. So in approaching God, we can't come all dismal and downcast and downtrodden, but we have to believe. Say, let us therefore come
boldly.
You got to approach God with confidence, not confidence in the flesh. Amen. Because if you go to Psalms 118, I believe it's verses 8 and 10, it says us, we ought not to have we ought to trust in God and not have confidence in man. And then it says we ought to trust in God and not have confidence in princes. In other words, there is no royalty that should take the place of God. Amen. So our trust has to be in God. So let us therefore come what? Boldly to the what? You can't come to God. Amen. And this is how the devil has caused so many of us to forfeit spiritual blessings. When it comes to God, we know we're unworthy. Amen. We read in Ephesians, Paul said, I'm the least of all the saints. To be worthy to be called a saint. Amen. But then he drops down in the 12th verse and he says once again, and when we have boldness, I wonder tonight, how do we approach God? Amen. We don't approach God arrogantly, having confidence in the flesh, because the scripture says no flesh will glory in his presence. Amen. No flesh will glory in his presence. But when we go with the right mind, trusting God, we have confidence. Amen. So Paul said that when we have confidence and access with confidence. Well, boldness and access with confidence, Ephesians 3:12. So how do you present yourself before God? Yes, we all have messed up. Anybody here perfect? If you're perfect, keep it to yourself. Amen. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not
one.
There's nobody perfect. Amen. Throughout the annals of time and history, throughout the age of the church, throughout the age of Israel, there was none perfect. Though David was the friend of God, was a man after God's own heart, he was not perfect. Abraham was a friend of God, he was not perfect. Noah, and these are men that are listed in Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, but they were not perfect, yet they obtained righteousness. Righteousness means that God presented them, in spite of their faults, righteous. Amen. God presents us in spite of our faults, righteous. And the latter portion of that says, by the faith of him. Amen. And not too long ago, we went over in Mark chapter 11, I believe it was verse 22, after Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and the apostle, Peter and the other apostles were shot because overnight the fig tree withered. Amen. But the Lord says, have faith in God, which really meant have the faith of God. Amen. So now he said we have access to God by the faith of him. Well, what was the faith of him? The faith of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Whenever Jesus was confronted with an issue, did he doubt? Amen. Did Jesus doubt when he was confronted with an issue? For instance, there was a man that was born blind, and they asked Jesus a question. They said, well, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither one of them, but he was born blind to the glory of God. In other words, God was going to get glory out of that situation. Amen. When Lazarus died, he told the apostles, he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you might believe. But then he drops down in verse 40, he says, said I not unto thee, that if thou shalt believe, you shall see the what? Glory of God. So whenever God, whenever Jesus was confronted with an issue, he never looked at it in a negative way. But he knew that ultimately, because of the confidence that he had in God, that God would be what? Glorified. Amen. In our lives, we must have the faith of God. We must have the boldness of Jesus. We must have the confidence of Jesus. It didn't say by the faith of him, we have boldness and access to who? God. By the faith of him. Well, whenever the Lord was confronted with him, it didn't matter if he had to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000. Did he trust and did he have confidence in God? Yes. Amen. Well, that's the same type of confidence that we have in approaching God. Amen. When we think of confidence, confidence reveals our faith. Your trust, your confidence in God reveals your faith. Amen. The scripture says faith is the substance. That substance means it's the confidence. Your faith is the confidence and the boldness of things that are hoped for, and the evidence of the conviction of the assurance of things not seen. We cannot continue to approach God sheepishly and cowardly. Amen. But we must approach God through boldness. Amen. We must approach God through boldness. Amen. Hebrews 10:35, I'm just going to mention this. We're not going to go there. It says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And then he said, but after you have done the will of God, you have need of patience. Amen. So constantly throughout the scripture, the Lord is trying to tell us to have confidence. Confidence in ourselves? No. Confidence in who?
God.
And when we have confidence in God, then we have boldness. Amen. Our confidence reveals a boldness in God. Now let us go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to read some verses here. We're dealing now with confidence And the way that we have to approach God, amen, we cannot continue to approach God in a cowardly manner, in a sheepishly manner, but we have to approach God by faith. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1, and then we're going to drop down to verses 5 through 8. Amen. Once again, tonight we're dealing with approaching God through boldness and confidence. Boldness and confidence. Verse 11 of Luke says, "And it came to pass that as he was," you know, the Bible said the law was our perfect example. He was doing what?
Praying.
Amen. The law was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us." Amen. There was something about the way the Lord prayed. When the disciples watched, he said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. One of the most important things that we can ever learn in our spiritual walk with God is how to pray. In Luke 18, verse 1, the Lord said, "Men ought always to do what?
Pray
and not to."
Pray.
You wonder today, how come so many people are quitting and giving up on God? Well, the answer is very simple. They are not praying. Amen. Because he said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Amen. And then he goes on and talks about the widow woman that kept going to the judge, and the judge just didn't have time to listen to her. But he said, "Though I don't fear God, and I don't even consider man," he said, "but this widow woman, she's wearing me out." Well, how is she wearing me out? She said, she keeps coming. The Lord said, "Well, even though I don't regard man and I don't fear God, lest this woman weary me, I'm going to avenge her of her enemies." And then the Lord drops down further and said, she was crying day and night. And the Lord said, "If you cry day and night, shall not the judge of the earth hear you?" Amen. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Well, that's a persistence. Amen. That's going to God with day and night. Amen. A lot of times we say, "Well, I pray." You know, that reveals a continuous in prayer. Amen. And the scripture says that there's only we ought to be what kind of in prayer? Instant. Amen. In prayer. Because situations are such that we need guidance, we need direction. And in needing guidance and direction, amen, you can't always get to the Father on the two-way radio. Amen. So then you have to pray and then you have to go to the manual and let God lead you. Amen. So it said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Well, how do you cry? Day and night. But then the Lord adds a spin to that. He said he's going to deliver you how? Speedily. In God's own time, he will deliver. But we must come to God boldly. Now drop down to verse 5 of the same chapter 11. So they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." We see the power in your life. We see how you are able to perform miracles. We know your prayer life has something to do with it. Amen. Can we do a personal inspection? I'm not talking about just coming to prayer on Mondays and Wednesdays or whenever church has prayer, but I'm talking about an intimate relationship where you spend time on a daily basis talking to God. Now, we say, "Well, you know, my life is so tied up and so busy." We have enough time to do what we want to do. When it comes to God, we need to see. Remember Bishop taught us on prayer? Do you remember what Bishop taught on prayer? He said prayer should be like an addiction, like a drug addiction. Amen. Nothing should stop you from praying. Prayer has to be like an addiction. Amen. Like the drug addict, they kill, they do everything. In other words, they won't let anything hinder them from getting to their drug. Bishop said prayer has to be like a drug. We should let anything hinder us from praying. Amen. Verse 5 reads, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Now we're talking about the way that we approach God, amen? Now this is prayer, but this is still the way that we're doing what? Approaching God. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his, it means he's persistent. Amen. He's consistent. He wouldn't accept no for an answer. He was persistent, amen, in trying to get what he wanted from his friend. He said, yet because of importunity, he will rise and give him. You know what he was? He was persistent. Amen. He was determined. He would not accept no for an answer. Amen. How many of us we've been saved for a long time, amen, but we really don't believe that God is a God of his word and that he will do what he says? Because we'll ask God and then we'll turn around and be so downcast, downtrodden, so dejected, as though God doesn't hear us. Amen. I'm going to relate at this time a story that I read. How many of you have ever read Think and Grow Rich? Y'all don't want to grow rich? Napoleon Hill wrote a book, Think and Grow Rich. And one of the things in Napoleon Hill's book of Think and Grow Rich was talk about a burning desire. Amen. A persistent desire. And a desire that will not let anything hinder you from your goal. So Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. I don't think I gave you all that, but I gave you all the one from, I think, Carnegie Halloween Friends and Influence People. Amen. But I didn't get too much feedback for that, so this one I kept to myself. Amen. It says, Think and Grow Rich. It's dealing with a mindset, amen, that you have to have. Well, he relates a story because he interviewed, I think, over 500 successful men to find out what was their secret to success. Napoleon Hill spent like 25 or 30 years to compile this book to find out, well, what was your secret to success? And he tells the story of R.U. Dalby, who was an insurance man. He sold over $1 million in insurance a year. And Darby related a story back in the early 20th century when they had sharecropping and they had the white slave owners or the white owners and then we're going to dignify it. They had the blacks. We won't use their terminology since we're in a different age and different time. They had the blacks that were the sharecroppers. And he relates the story of how he was working with his uncle and they were grinding wheat at the mill. And one of the young sharecropper's daughter came to his uncle and said, my mother, for we don't want to use that term once again, my mother sent me to you to get $0.50. Said, my mother sent me to you to get 50 cents. The girl was 7 or 8 years old. And the uncle said, he said, I don't have time for you. He said, girl, you better go home and go back to your mama. And he continued working, and Darby said what his uncle didn't realize is that the girl was still standing there and wouldn't leave. So after a little while, he looked up, he said, hey, didn't I tell you to go home? She said, yes, sir. I mean, they have their way of writing. We're going to bring it up to the 21st century. Amen. She said, yes, sir. He said, well, I told you to go home. He said, get out of here. So she said, yes, sir, but she didn't leave. And so after a while, the uncle, his uncle had a fierce temper, picked up one of the sticks from the barrel and went after the girl. He said, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to take this stick and whip you. And Darby said at that time he closed his eyes because he knew this girl was in trouble. He said, but as his uncle approached the young 7 or 8 year old girl and he held the stick up, he said the girl ran towards him and screamed with a loud, at the top of her voice and said, my mama told me to get the 50 cents and I'm not leaving till you give it to me. You know, and And he said the guy would have the stick to hit her, and she ran at him and screamed in such a way that it startled him, and he put the stick down and gave her the 50 cent. And he said the girl slowly backed up and left, and after the girl left, he said his uncle sat down on the barrel for 10 minutes, couldn't figure out what happened. He said he learned from that illustration that no doesn't always mean no when you are persistent. The girl's mother had told her, don't you come back till you get the 50 cent. Her persistence would not allow her to accept no. Even though a big burly man was coming at her with a stick, in her boldness, she challenged him and screamed to the top of her voice, my mama said, give me the 50 cent, I'm not gonna leave till you give it to me. And he said, for 10 minutes, his uncle sitting there looking out the window saying, what just happened? He didn't know what happened. Well, that's the type of persistence we have to have when it comes to God. Amen. We can't allow anything to prevent us from getting what we want from God. We have to have a boldness. Can we say boldness?
Boldness.
And we have to approach God with confidence. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. All right, I got to bring this to a quick close. 1 John chapter 5. Now we're dealing with the way that we approach God. If a young girl, and they said back in those times, when a white master told a black slave child to do something, it was instant danger when they did the opposite. But when you have a burning desire, amen, and a determination, and a boldness, and the confidence, that girl was confident. She wasn't leaving since she got a 50 cent to go back home. And she broke a big, stubborn master with her persistence and determination. How do we approach God, our Father, that wants the best for us? He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it how? Well, if God has the abundant life for us, amen, and if he was rich and for our sakes he became poor, amen, not just in the natural sense, but in the spiritual sense, why, when we look at our lives individually, and then we look at it collectively as a church, why do we keep coming up short? Because we do not approach God the right way, amen. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, amen. Tonight, we want to approach God the what kind of way? Right way. The right way is with confidence and with boldness. Amen. We ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. Stop coming saying, God, I'm not worthy. Listen, he was our high priest. He was such with all the feelings of our, in everything that you experienced, the Lord experienced. But he overcame it. And he says in John, because I overcame, you should overcome. There's a mindset. Not our confidence is not in flesh, and it's not in ourselves. But we have to have confidence when we go to God. And then we have to have boldness to believe that God would give us just what we ask for. Verse 14 says, and this is the what?
Confidence.
This is the confidence that we have in. Who's the confidence in?
God.
It's in God, right? It's not in ourselves. It's not in our abilities. It's not in our talents. Our confidence is in who?
God.
Tonight, what kind of confidence do you have in God? That if we ask
anything.
A few things,
anything.
Just the little things that we feel ourselves qualified for.
Anything.
If you ask what?
Anything.
According to his will, he what? This is what you got to have. What kind of confidence? In who? God. If you ask anything according to his will, then he what? That's confidence. That's boldness. Do you have that kind of confidence when you approach God? Listen, Lord, I've done my best. Sure, I'm not perfect. But I've given you my best. So now, God, the only way I can come to you with confidence. The next verse reads, and if we know that he
hears us,
We went to him in confidence, amen, and we know that he what?
Heareth us.
When you go to God, are you sure? Are you confident? Are you bold to believe that he heareth you? Amen. You can't approach God in doubt and unbelief. Amen. We can't approach God like he's up there, some big mean master that's waiting to strike us. Amen. But he's our Heavenly Father. So when we approach, how many of y'all have a mother and father? Yeah, I have all of us, right? Everybody got a mother and father. I mean, you got here to a mother and father? Right? I hope nobody got hatched here, right? No Starks in the y'all. Amen. We all have a mother and father, right? When you were growing up as a child, when you went to your mother and father, you know, when you went to your parents for something, did you expect that they wouldn't give it to you? You expect that they will what? Give it to you. Amen. I remember when I was like 11 years old, I want a mini bike. The next day, I had a mini bike. Amen. He used that mini bike to make me do what he wanted me to do, but he gave it to me. Amen. But you know, all of my life, I wasn't greedy. Amen. But I would ask my father for something. And when I asked him, I knew he would give it to me. Why? Because I didn't ask him for $1 million or things that was above his means. But I asked him in confidence. Amen. And because I asked him in confidence, I knew he would give it to me. Even when I was saved, if I called or wanted something, and I never did it because when I was growing up, they always told us that you learn to walk on your own 2 feet, but I know if 2 feet, not feet. All right, y'all, I guess everybody got their feet, y'all all that. But I knew that we had to walk on our own 2 feet, amen. So I wouldn't call and ask, even though I knew I could. And you know, every time that my mother and father would get on me, they said, boy, why would you be all the way up in New York? This is when I was 15, living away from home, and you be in need and not call and ask us, amen. Because that's what a parent does for a child. When your child is in need, you do what you can to help them. Isn't God our Heavenly Father?
Yes.
Don't you realize he knows your need?
Amen.
Even before you ask? But he said, even though I know your need, before you ask, you still have to
ask.
When you can't go to God and say, well, God, you know, I'm not this or that. You're telling God what he already knows about you. Amen. You don't have to tell him that. Just go to him and say, Lord, I need this. And go with confidence. He said, well, we know that if he hears us, and whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the what?
Petition.
We have the petition that we desire of him. Why? Because he is our Heavenly Father. Amen. Put God to the test. Didn't he tell them in the book of Malachi, he said, prove me now with and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? A blessing that there's not room to receive. But how do you have to approach God? Through confidence. Now let's go to Joshua, even though I have a lot. Let's go to Joshua and chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, we're going to close here. Amen. And this is a woman of disdain. Amen. How many heard of Rahab? Anybody know who Rahab is? Rahab was a what? She was a harlot. Amen. And that's why we said on Sunday, you do not have to be perfect to receive God's favor. Amen. So let's go to Joshua chapter 6. And let's start off in we're going to read verses 1, 2, then we're going to drop down to 12 and 17. Now we know that when after Moses passed the leadership baton on to Joshua, God said concerning Joshua that as he was with Moses, so shall he be with Joshua. So Joshua, for all those years that he was with Moses' leadership, learned some things about God. Amen. Now, before we get to chapter 6 and chapter 2, Joshua sends out how many spies? 2, right? Joshua sent out 2 spies to spy out the land of Jericho. Somebody said, well, why didn't he send out 12 like Moses? You know why he didn't send out 12? He learned. All you need, the Bible says, 2 or 3 witnesses. Mm-hmm. We always got to see a whole lot of people involved. All you need is 2 or 3. Besides, Joshua said, you know what? He sent out 2 spies. And you know, from spiritual conjecture, we have to assume that one was from the tribe of Judah and one was from the tribe of Ephraim, because Caleb was from the tribe of Judah, and he brought back a what kind of report? Good report. And Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim, and he also brought back a good report. So they in their tribe have influence. So they said, if I'm going to send out somebody to get a report, we might want to send out somebody from the tribe that brought back a good report. Amen. So he didn't send out the 12 like Moses. He learned through the years, all you need is 2 or 3. So he sent out the 2 spies throughout the land. All right, and that's going to bring us up to chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, now Jericho was strictly shut up because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men. And then in between verses 2 and down to verse 12, God gives Joshua a plan. Amen. Now, this is when you have to have confidence and trust in God, because they're going into a war. But God gives Joshua a plan. And the plan that God gives Joshua is not a plan that you use when you go to war. He said, first of all, I'm going to put the priests out and those that blow the trumpet, and I'm going to put them in front of the army. Right? Now, this is when you have to have confidence in who? God. Because you're going to war, but you're using unconventional means to get the victory, but his confidence was in God. So he tells him, he says, for 6 days, I want you to walk around the city one time and then go back to your camp. He said, don't say a word for 6 days. But then he asked Joshua to do something that spiritually looking at it didn't make sense. Because on the seventh day was considered the what day? The Sabbath, right? So now we're looking at the whole scope of things. On the Sabbath day, he's telling them to walk around the city 7 times. Well, they had in the Mosaic law saying on the Sabbath day, you could go to the temple and you could come home, but you could not walk that far. So God is asking them to do something that didn't make sense. It was a direct violation of the Mosaic law. He tells them to walk around the city how many times?
7 times.
He said, now 6 times, I don't want you to say anything. He said, but at the end of the 7th time, and this is what brings it up to verse 12, okay? It said, and Joshua rose up early, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests. Now, when Israel went to war, guess what the ark of the Lord should have been? Back in the camp. But you know why they took the ark of the Lord? Because it represented what? The presence of God. Amen. So if God's going to give me a plan and it's not a conventional plan, if I'm going to go into and fulfill God's plan, I got to take him with me. I wonder how many of us have been trying to do God's work, but we keep leaving him out. You got to bring the ark with you. Where's the ark? Was it in back? Was it in between? No, it was where? Out in the front. Because this was the plan of God. Amen. So he had the ark. And verse 7 says, and the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpet horns, ram horns, and ark of the Lord went on continually and blew. In verse 14, and the second day they come past the city, keep going. Let's drop down to verse 16. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. And verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down plan. Now, what happened if they say, Joshua, what you have telling us to do doesn't make sense? But they had what? Confidence. Who's the confidence in Joshua? The confidence was in who? God. So they had boldness. Amen. Now, one of the things, when the spies left, they told Rahab the harlot, they said, now listen, we're going to save you and whoever's in this house as long as you tie this scarlet thread in the window. What if Rahab said, that don't make sense. What about tie? What does a rope in the window have to do with my deliverance? Amen? But we have to be what? Obedient. So it says when they shouted, now this is one of the miracles, when they shouted, the walls all came down, right? Where was Rahab the harlot's house at? On the wall. So every wall, the whole wall in the city came down except the wall went well. Rahab the harlot's house was. Why? Because she believed God. If we read about it in James, he talks about Rahab the harlot. She what? Believed God. And because she believed God, the house, all the walls came down except for where her house was. Now let's say Rahab, let's say she said, I don't really have confidence in what the spy said. When all the house in this, let's look at our own situation. If I'm in the house and everything around me is coming down, every wall fell except for what? One wall that supported the house of the person that had faith to believe God. Everything else came down. If they didn't have confidence in God, and if you're in the house and everything around you is coming down, what are you going to do in that house? You're going to get out, right? The walls are falling on every house in all the city around you are falling, but because of their faith and confidence in God, they stayed in the house. That's the kind of confidence we got to have. The scripture said, 1,000 will fall on the right side and 10 on the left, but it will not come nigh thee. That's the confidence. That's the boldness that we have to have in God. But not only did she have confidence and boldness to believe that God was going to deliver her, when everything came down, but her house. Can we say but her house?
But her house.
And that's a miracle in itself.
Amen.
Every wall fell except for what God has said. If you just follow my instructions,
yes.
And everything that's in the house, and not just in the house, but you also have to have the scarlet thread, will be saved. The Bible says that the two men went in and brought everything out, brought her whole family out, and took them outside the camp, and they were saved. But the miracle was, everything was gone but her house. Why didn't her house come down? Because she believed God. So if you believe God, let 1,000 fall on your right side and 10,000 on your left, but it won't come nigh you, because God will be your shield. God will be your buckler. God will be your protector. If you have confidence in God. Now, Rahab was the harlot. But how many know that she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus?
All right.
Amen. Was she perfect? No. How did she get in this type of spiritual royalty? Not just royalty, but spiritual royalty, that she was listed in the genealogy of Jesus. In other words, she's a part of Jesus' bloodline, because she married Salmon, who was one of the two spies. So she married him, but she was a Canaanite woman. Amen. She should not even have been in the lineage. But she married him, and as a result of that, she became part of the royal lineage, or the spiritual lineage. Was she perfect? Absolutely not. She, even in the New Testament, every time they mentioned Rahab, they called her the what? The harlot. That was her reputation. But thank God, other people's reputation won't disqualify us as far as God is concerned. Stop letting what other people think hinder you from being what God can do for you.
All right.
So every time they talk about it, they say, Rahab the harlot. Doesn't matter. Amen. Because God does not look at our imperfections. All God wants us to come to Him with confidence. Amen. Let us stand. God wants us to come to Him with confidence. Amen. When God asks you to do something, as the altar workers and the elders come forward, when God asks you to do something, just believe God. Amen. Don't allow people to put any type of negative reputation on you. Amen. Let me keep calling you Rahab the harlot. Amen. But she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus. Amen. She was, Rahab the harlot was David's, I think, great grandmother. Amen. God can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants to, however He wants to. But it's according to your what? Faith. Your faith has to dictate to God if you come to God with boldness. Amen. We can't continue to say we believe God, but where the road meets the road, our life, our disposition represents doubt. Amen. If we make an internal inspection tonight, what does our life represent? Amen. Do we have boldness? Do we have confidence when we approach God? If you have boldness and confidence, then we have the assurance that God hears us and will give us exactly what we ask for our help.